U.S. military flights have ended, and our troops have departed Afghanistan. A new chapter of America's engagement with Afghanistan has begun. It's one in which we will lead with our diplomacy. The military mission is over. A new diplomatic mission has begun.
That was Secretary of State Antony Blinken speaking last night, just hours after that last U.S. cargo plane took off from Kabul Airport. President Biden expected to address the end of America's longest war in a live address to the country later this afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. To talk more about the future in the region, let's bring in Ian Bremmer. He is, of course, Eurasia Group President as well as the G0 Media President. And Ian, it's always good to get your context on this because I think there's a lot of people who are looking at this messy exit and then reflecting on the last 20 years saying, what exactly did the U.S. accomplish here? What do you think the president needs to say today to mark the end of what is now America's longest war?
Well, he does need to say that he understood that this was going to be an enormously difficult decision. I mean, losing a war on your watch, irrespective of how many presidents have been responsible for starting and continuing it, is never going to be fun. There are a lot of propaganda wins for his domestic opponents and his international opponents. And he has to lean into that. He has to own it. He's done that so far. He is going to have to, I think, do a better job of explaining both how he's made mistakes in execution of the evacuation and the ending on his watch, as well as continue to be 100% committed to getting the Americans and the Afghans who have special immigration visas to come to the United States. He needs to spell that out. But having said all of that, the last 2 weeks of relentless headline coverage on Afghanistan are going to end in all likelihood in fairly short order now that the vast majority of the Americans are out or leaving. And so, you know, I do think that part of what Biden is trying to do here is put a pin in the end of the war and move on to what he and most Americans consider to be far more important and impactful, like $3.5 trillion for infrastructure and supporting a frayed social contract.
We did hear Secretary Blinken say yesterday that this moment demands reflection. And he specifically said that we need to learn the lessons from Afghanistan and the lessons to shape how we think about fundamental questions about national security and foreign policy. What is that thinking, you think? What has shifted as a result of the way in which the U.S. exited Afghanistan looking back on the last 20 years?
The one big lesson is that as rightfully angry and scared as Americans were after 9/11, we made Afghanistan into an almost existential threat to the American homeland. And it was never that. It was never a grade A national security priority for the U.S. It never merited 100,000+ servicemen and women on the ground fighting a war and rebuilding a nation. There were so many better things to be spending most of the $2 trillion+ that we have spent on this war over the course of the last 20 years. And there are plenty of people that can take responsibility and blame for that over the period of that time. We need to reflect on why it is that in an enormously divided United States, one of the very few foreign policies that Democrats, Republicans, and independents can agree on is get the hell out of Afghanistan. Even with a relatively limited footprint and less cost, and no American servicemen and women getting killed in fighting over the last year, didn't matter. They still wanted an end. Why is it that a mission that the United States historically had a much easier time embracing, that of being the world's policeman, that of being the cheerleader of American values and open society and human rights, why doesn't that appeal to Americans anymore, irrespective of what part of the political spectrum you're on? And what does that mean for America's allies around the world? How should they think about the United States if we were in their shoes, something we need to be considering going forward?
There's, of course, the question about what the future relationship will be with the U.S. and Afghanistan. And we heard the Secretary say yesterday that the U.S. will engage with the Taliban, but will not do so in blind faith or trust. The U.N.'s already warned about a humanitarian disaster that is playing out within the country. What do you think the U.S. relationship will be like with Afghanistan? What should it be? How does the U.S. see its role in the region?
It's obviously going to be a lot less important and impactful than the countries in the region who have a lot more at stake in what happens in Afghanistan going forward. And those countries are, in no particular order, Pakistan, Iran, Russia, and China. That's a rogues gallery of governments that we don't get on with and we don't trust, never mind the Taliban themselves. So having said all of that, we do have shared interests with all of those countries on a few basic issues around the future of Afghanistan. Number one, we want the government to maintain coherent and not fall apart into civil war. Number two, we'd like sufficient security so you don't see a humanitarian crisis with millions of refugees streaming out of the country. Number three, we don't want Afghanistan to be a home for a power vacuum and radical Islamic terror that will not just threaten Afghans, but will also threaten people in countries all over the world. We share those fundamental interests with Pakistan, with China, with Russia, and with Iran. And so I thought it was very interesting and useful that the Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi came out just a couple of days ago and called for an emergency G20 summit on Afghanistan going forward. Now, that's not the G7. That's not the democracies that we get along with pretty well and trust, even if that's frayed. That's the broader constellation of countries in the world that include those that really do have Afghanistan in their backyard. We're going to need to find ways to engage with them. What the Americans decide about Afghanistan going forward is not going to fundamentally determine the future of that country. It's kind of like what happens with Syria after Obama gave up on the red line. It wasn't about the United States anymore. That's the point.
What's interesting when you think about the president's commitment, if you want to call it that, he was very adamant about withdrawing troops from Afghanistan, in part, some would argue, because he wanted to focus on bigger foreign policy issues like China. China clearly sees a big opportunity within Afghanistan, not just with its natural resources, but also to really expand its Belt and Road Initiative. And I know we're still talking about the early days, but what do you see as China's role within the country? And how big of an opportunity is there really?
I want to say I disagree with that. I think that China sees a propaganda opportunity in rubbing America's nose in the fact that there's all these horrible videos coming out of Afghanistan and the Taliban sees that they've won. But this is not a real opportunity for China. It's a problem for China. China now has to deal with, the fact that they've got a deeply unstable and pretty radical government right on their border. Belt and Road investment from China has been decreasing over the last several years. China has their own domestic priorities that are much more important in terms of what they want to spend their money on. And the investments they've already made in Afghanistan, in copper mines, for example, and other heavy infrastructure, have not paid off well. They've been incredibly difficult to bring into effect because there ain't no infrastructure in one of the most geographically remote parts of the world. That's only going to get harder under the Taliban. So, I have to say, if China had a free media, and they don't have anything remotely close to it, you'd see over the next few years Afghanistan making more headlines in China as it's making less headlines in the United States. That's not a good thing. If Afghanistan's making headlines in your country, you're probably screwing something up. That's a pretty good rule of thumb.
Finally, Ian, how do you think this is going to play domestically here in the U.S.? You sort of alluded to the fact that, look, there's been so much attention on this with all the headlines coming out of Afghanistan over the last few weeks. Clearly, that has hurt President Biden. There's a lot of Republicans who are looking at this saying, maybe this could be an issue come midterms. Do you think it's going to stick?
Heck, there are Democrats that are saying that. Biden's taken a lot of hits from his own party in how he's communicated here. I don't think the level of attention that we've had for the last couple of weeks is likely to persist. I mean, barring something truly cataclysmic with the remaining American citizens that are on the ground. But I do think that this is going to be an issue in the midterm elections, precisely because Biden won as the adult who tells us the truth, who is capable on these international issues, who's been on the Foreign Relations Committee for decades in the Senate. And frankly, there are just a bunch of things over the last month that President Biden, that Secretary of State Blinken and others have said about Afghanistan that just have not been true. And they had to contradict themselves when didn't take responsibility, in my view, when the Taliban suddenly took over all of Afghanistan within a few days and when Kabul fell. And I think that those sound bites are going to be replayed over and over. This is a bigger deal than Benghazi was for Obama, for Hillary Clinton. And in a very divided United States, of course, you know, the Republicans are going to run with that. I do think that come midterm elections, some seats will probably be lost on the basis of what is seen as a debacle in Afghanistan, even though the responsibility for the war in Afghanistan is overwhelmingly not that of President Biden.
It certainly feels that way right now, but we're going to be watching to see the lasting impacts. Ian Bremmer, it's always good to talk to you. Really appreciate the time joining us from Eurasia Group. He's, of course, the president there and the president of G Zero Media.